threats of a border shutdown and healthcare put on the back burner until 2020. But one big question haunts Washington. Where is the Mueller report? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us every week on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Donald Trump isn't satisfied with walling off Mexico, this week threatening to cut off the border entirely. How is this meant to work?
It doesn't work. And he's already backed down. New news for you, mate. He backed down this morning because he discovered he can't do it. It would be so ruinous to U.S. trade and commerce that everybody's against it, including his own staff. What you have to understand is there are people, American citizens, who live in Mexico. Because the border is so nearby, if you want to buy a home in El Paso, the fact it's on the other side of the border doesn't mean much. Or San Diego, a quarter of the workers in San Diego cross the border every morning. They have visas or they're citizens. So this was just nonsense to begin with. He's backed off it quickly because he knows he would look like a fool.
Well, trying to save face, I imagine, he's threatened that Mexico needs to do something within the next year to stop drugs and migrants from crossing the border, or once again, he'll look at shutting it down as well as imposing tariffs on cars. So what is Mexico
meant to... Who pays the tariffs?
Yeah.
Americans.
This is the problem.
And if he shut it down, who pays the price? The United States. Please, mate, over a couple thousand immigrants. Now, this is really a bad situation this year, but this is kind of a seasonal issue. It comes and goes. And the more publicity he gives it, the more people want to try it. Wouldn't you? And particularly sending your kids over and staying home yourself, embarrass the heck out of them. So I think this is, what do they call it, a tempest in a teapot?
The Mueller report, Ed, we're still waiting.
I think that's behind the wall. It's got to be someplace.
It's just a building a wall around Washington.
Look, a 300-page report, you could read that kind of a novel in an evening, right? Maybe it is a novel, and that's where they're having trouble with it. But the big problem with this report is the fact that he put out that summary. And the summary now has to agree with the report. And I think that's where they're having real problems. That summary is really a noose around the Attorney General's neck, because his conclusions, which he says are drawn from the report, you can't get there from the sentences he chooses to use. So where is he going to go? The other thing is there's active investigations still going on, and you can't expose those investigations, nor the subpoenas, nor the indictments. So this is a big no news. Finally, the interesting thing about this, the House Democrats have voted overwhelmingly to see this report, and the Republicans have voted almost overwhelmingly not to see it. Why is that? If it exonerates the president, why don't the Republicans want it to be seen? Don't get it.
Also this week, Democrats have formally requested the IRS hand over 6 years of Trump's personal and business tax returns. That's sure to start another big battle.
There's probably not anything in the file by now. We waited so long. Things have a way. Fires happen. Documents just aren't where you thought they were going to be. It's kind of like a novel, you know, where you go in the back caverns and the documents you thought were there weren't there. This could kind of be like one of those Brown novels, you know, the chasing the holy tax return. I think this holy grail is going to be very hard to get.
Yeah, probably a better chance of breaking into the Vatican.
Oh, yeah, I broke into the Vatican, so I'll tell you that story some other time.
Healthcare? Trump is now pushing back the repeal of Obamacare until after 2020, which means we're going to see another election fought on the issue that Trump claimed would be basically sorted the day he got into office back in 2016. Are we looking forward to hearing about this all over again?
Well, we're going to hear about it, but not in the way that Trump says. We're going to hear about it because Trump and his people have done so much damage to Obamacare, and it's hurting American citizens, and they're complaining about it. So we're definitely going to hear about it. And I think it's going to be in the campaign for sure. The Democrats have a huge advantage here because most people are voting for it in their own states through Medicare expansions. So there's going to be an Obamacare. There has never, ever been in the United States a universal program that has been repealed. Let me give you an example. There's a tea authority in the United States to test tea. It started the day the country started. The tea authority is X'd out in every budget, but it is still there. So give me a break. Healthcare? Nah, never.
As you say, it's almost a free kick for Democrats because I think it's undeniable when Obamacare was originally implemented, long before Trump and his cronies got their claws into it, there were problems, and there were problems that did hurt people. But ever since, obviously, Trump was elected in, the Republicans were elected in, they have been, of course, chipping away at it outside. And as you say, these are real issues that affect real people. So far from talking about the original problems we had with Obamacare, what Obama could originally get in, we're now just talking about what Republicans have been doing to damage it.
Mate, you've just given them, the Republicans, their program. Repair Obamacare and call it whatever care. Just repair that and it'd be a great program. Without extensions of Medicare, which is hugely expensive, repair Obamacare, don't repeal. Hey, should I work for the Republicans? Repair Obamacare, don't repeal. I could even do a song.
Fantastic. Meanwhile, the man who would be president, Joe Biden, has been embroiled in scandals of his own this week with a number of women coming forward and saying he's been inappropriately touchy with them. What do you make of Biden's response on this one?
I think Biden's response, a typical response. It's hard to know, and particularly when you go back several years, what's appropriate, not appropriate. But it might give him some stature, a little cred, given the kind of people who are running for office. Joe Biden's a touchy-feely guy. I've only met Joe once. I mean, we barely knew one another. His handshake was very robust, you know, and he gave me the shoulder thing. Since I'm a black male on the way out, I could have considered that inappropriate. But come on. You know, this is America. This is, you know, the late 20th century. It's the problem with these accusations now. They've gone a bit off the rails where the good ones and the bad ones now are conflated and they're losing appeal. This will not have legs in a couple of months.
It's one of those tricky ones because even though we've talked about the Me Too movement before, it's certainly not on you and I to be saying where these lines should be drawn.
No. But we do know something about public and public relations and public media and political campaigns. Some things will stick and they will rise. If Trump, after Access Hollywood, if that didn't move the dial, what Biden's done is very, very small.
It is very hard to wrap our heads around.
And again, I think you and I should be careful here because we are talking about another gender, much as we've been talking about Aboriginals or Black Americans. It's their struggle, and what they have to say clearly is paramount, and it doesn't matter if it's Joe Biden, me, or you.
Puerto Rico, we came back to just how poorly the country has been treated in terms of disaster relief, well, last week. It's just bizarre to me, Ed. Like a lot of Trump's behavior, he repeats incredibly obvious lies, like saying the U.S. territory got $91 billion for the hurricane, more money that's ever been gotten for a hurricane before. That would actually be inaccurate, even if it was true, and it's most certainly not true. He attacks and attacks, but then seems incredibly wounded that Puerto Rico hasn't showered him with gratitude.
Huh. Wasn't Trump's father born in Germany?
This has been one of them this week, hasn't it?
Oh, come on. I mean, why continually tell lies that have no space, no $91 billion? We didn't get that in Katrina with five states. So how could Puerto Rico will be the richest state in the union with $91 billion. Why, if you're going to tell a lie, give one, you know, if he said $91 million, fine, but please.
And just looking at Trump's behavior over the course of this week, you mentioned there, of course, he's told this story about his dad being born in Germany three times, I think, despite it's patently not true. He was born in New York. Is Trump
New York may be in Germany. We just don't know.
Maybe we're going to auction that one off, Manhattan Island auctioned off. Is his behavior just becoming more and more bizarre, or is it me?
I think the man is seriously ill. And this is the first time I've said this on the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he doesn't have control over himself anymore. The fact that he went after Mueller about all kinds of insane things, and now it's over, he still attacks, there's something wrong. Really something deeply wrong and troubling. And I think the Republicans are seeing it.
Well, limping ahead to 2020. And I just wanted to reflect on this one briefly because last year, around the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s death, we did a special on MLK and also a special on the issues of Black America. This week, just yesterday, the 51st anniversary. Any other reflections, Ed?
Well, I think we're clearly in the same place we were last year. Mm. But in some ways, some things are, well, how to say, more in the open. The plight of African Americans and the lowest rung of the ladder is becoming more clear, and people are deciding that something has to be done. Now, that'll swoop up whites and others, but the black poor are now center stage. The second thing is gun violence has actually gone down among blacks, and that's a very good thing. And the third thing, this Smollett business says that blacks are not protecting a person who acts like Trump. If you're going to tell lies, you're not getting any protection from the black community. So there are some advances. I would say the black community is now within the law. That is, blacks can feel comfortable within the U.S. legal system for the very first time. And I wish we could get that way with Aboriginals here.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.